Good morning. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Wow. Thankful that our hope is found in Christ. And that's just as Aubrey was praying, you know, no matter what you're going through this morning, where you are, if you're in the middle of a storm, if you're in an exciting time, through Christ, it is well. That is where our hope is. And we can try to put our faith in other things, and what always happens? It just crumbles, right? Just crumbles. Stuff only lasts so long. Like I say a lot of times, it's always a pleasure just to come together and worship, and it's a very important time that we as the body of Christ are able to come together and be around each other as believers and to worship Christ. So I'm thankful for this time that we have together. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians. If you were not here last week, we started our new series in the book of Galatians. Our sermon series title, which we'll be in for a while here, is No Other Gospel. And as we've seen a church, as we're beginning to see this church that began listening to a false gospel, and then what kind of happens with that. Last week we were brought back to a incredible truth, which is grace. As Paul starts this letter saying, grace and peace to you, to this church. This church that he's going to have to give some strong words to, but the bottom line is we come back to grace, that Christ's sacrifice is sufficient for us, and we are thankful for this gift that he's given us in salvation by his grace. So the message title this morning is called The Astonishment of Apostasy. It's going to be pretty intense. You ready for that? Okay, good. Let's pray, and let's just get started. And again, I'm always excited to see what God's going to show us through his word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice you made for us on the cross that is completely sufficient. Thank you for your word. It is truth. We believe in it. We know it as believers because we feel it. We feel that it is alive and it speaks to our hearts. I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you, that you would call to them through the gospel, that they would respond to you. I pray for those that are doubting. Pray for those that are on the edge of drifting away, that you would just reveal yourself so clearly this morning. I pray for those of us that are struggling and fighting to walk and keep our eyes on you. Continue to reveal yourself, encourage us, warn us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of the gospel. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite phrases that my wife uses often is the phrase, let's finish well. How many of my kids have heard that phrase? Yes, okay. So when we come to the end of a semester, my wife's a teacher, and so, I grew up in a teacher's family, so we kind of, our calendar is kind of based around the school schedule. It's just kind of the way it is. But when we come to the end of a semester and we're completely exhausted and we're tired and we're trying to get through those last few weeks or the last few weeks of the school year, I hear my wife say this phrase many times, let's finish well. When we're praying in our family devotion, you'll hear her pray, Lord, let us finish well, let us stay the course. So last week as we began our series in the book of Galatians, no doubt after Paul, see Paul had helped plant these churches in the city of Galatia, and maybe it was a church or maybe it was several churches. And no doubt that after Paul had helped plant these churches and established the elders and taught them the truth of the one true gospel, no doubt before he left, before he went away to go do the next thing or to go to the next town, I can just hear him saying, okay, guys, I'm going to leave soon, so stay the course. Stay true to the gospel. Keep your eye on the prize. Finish well. I can just picture him saying that, okay, guys, you're set, you know the truth of the gospel, go out, make disciples, but stay true to the one true gospel. Which is why I'm sure that he was so shocked or astonished to hear how quickly these young churches had abandoned the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we see right here in the very first chapter, in verse 6. We see and hear Paul's astonishment. So you can imagine yourself as Paul working hard sharing the gospel, building it, planting a church, and then saying, stay true, and then leaving, and then how quickly he hears that they have abandoned their faith or abandoned the true gospel. So look at verse 6 as we kind of walk through this. Chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, Paul says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. There's so much packed into that one verse. Paul had poured his life into establishing these churches, so you can imagine his heartbreak, right? Just the heartbreak to hear that someone that he had poured into, or a group of people, had abandoned the truth of the gospel. Have you guys ever felt that in ministry? So I've been in the ministry almost 28 years. I started working in church as a freshman at OBU when I was there, and started interning in church, and been in several churches and been in the ministry for a while. Probably some of the hardest things for me to go through as a minister is when we pour into somebody, we disciple somebody, we help somebody, and they come and we take the late night calls and we go out to the late meetings, we go out to the counseling sessions and walk through crises with people, and we do these things and we see what God is doing and we pour into somebody, and then at some point they walk away from the faith or they abandon the faith. Or down the road we find out that they have been connected to the body of Christ in a long time. Or we see them following a false teaching and listening to things that are not of truth, and we're heartbroken because it's like, man, we worked so hard to pour into them, to help them hear the truth. It's heartbreaking. It's astonishing, right? For Paul, he felt this. But not only was he astonished at how quickly they had deserted the gospel, but how quickly they had deserted him, Jesus, who called you in the grace of Christ, and now they are turning to a different gospel. Not only were they falling away from the true gospel, but they were listening to lies, twists of the gospel, false truths. And what this is called is apostasy. Has anyone heard that word before? Apostasy. Thank you, Tony. What is apostasy? Okay, let's just kind of talk about that. So, you know, it's in my title, The Astonishment of Apostasy. That sounds pretty cool, right? But, you know, okay, well, what is it? What is apostasy? It is this. Apostasy is the abandonment or renunciation of a religion. It is the desertion, like the running away, the walking away, when you run away from what you once held dear, what you treasured. So that's kind of that broad definition. So when we think about the Christian faith, it is the desertion of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the walking away, it's the abandonment, it's the renunciation, it's all that we held dear in our faith in Jesus, it's running away from that, moving away and deserting that. That's what apostasy is. I kind of have college on my brain since I just moved my oldest son off to college last weekend, and he's here. Welcome back, Andrew, and his roommate, Dominic. Thanks for coming. So we've been kind of walking through that and moving him in the dorms and all this stuff. And what is interesting as I think about those going off to college, young adults, is the crazy statistics that are showing up. The alarming number of young adults who are abandoning their faith as they leave home. In fact, one of the studies show that it's even at 60%. 60% of young people who grew up in the church abandon their faith after 4 years of going off to college or going off on their own. That's that. Whatever you think about statistics, I mean, again, it's a study. It's humans making a study. But that the abandoning of one's faith is a real issue with those that leave home. Right? And we can at least say that's kind of a scary statistic as those move away from maybe, and who knows, again, all these different scenarios, maybe they were forced to go to church, maybe it was, you know, as we think about religion and all these things, but as they go off on their own, they start listening to other false teachings, how quickly they desert their faith. We see it happen. We're seeing it happen with major Christian influencers, right? Authors, songwriters. We see it happen within our own churches. We see it happen within our own families, right? Those that once were connected to the body of Christ, going to church, and they're like, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. No, I'm not really into that anymore. Many of us are close to someone going through this. Maybe some of us in this room are on that edge and we are struggling with doubt. We've been listening to all this other stuff. We've kind of gone away. Maybe we don't hold God's word as dear to our heart as we once did, and we're listening to other authors and other speakers, and we're listening to the world, and we're getting all confused. Maybe there's some of us in this room right now struggling with that. I consider that drifting as we drift away from keeping our eyes on Christ. Apostasy is a tragedy. It's a tragedy. You guys ready for tough questions with Chris? Tough questions with Chris, okay? How does apostasy, how does knowing someone that is drifting away from the Lord, drifting away from their faith, how does it make you feel? It should grieve us, right? It should. It should break our hearts like it's breaking Paul's heart as we read this. But here's what happens, okay? This is one of those tough questions. Do we grieve more when people like Russell Westbrook and Paul George leave the Thunder, or when someone we know walks away from the faith? Do you see what I'm saying? That's one of those tough questions. When our favorite stars have left our favorite sports team, do we grieve more over that, or do we grieve more when someone we know is abandoning the faith? Because sometimes I think we kind of put more into just surface things. And when someone we hear is like, they're not going to church anymore, it's like, okay, that's too bad. We should be brokenhearted. For Paul, it tore him up. He says, I am astonished. That's a big word. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Christ. But here's another thing that apostasy is. Not only is it abandoning the faith and walking away, apostasy is also when someone turns from the true gospel and then adds something to it, okay? And this is what we're seeing here as well. Turning from the gospel and then adding to it, making it a false gospel. Remember my little illustration last week when I put one little drop of poison in the bottle of water? That one tiny little drop still polluted the whole thing. When we add anything to the gospel, it pollutes it. A little saying or phrase that I saw this week is this: Jesus plus anything else equals nothing. Write that down. Jesus plus anything else equals nothing. Jesus plus adding anything to it makes the gospel nothing. It pollutes the gospel. It's not the gospel at all. It's a false gospel. Paul clearly accuses the church, or these churches in Galatia, of turning completely to a different gospel because they were listening to people who were adding to the gospel, saying, the gospel is okay, this is all good, but we need to be doing these things as well. That's adding to it. That's apostasy. But guess what? That's nothing new for God's people, right? Nothing new. Think back all the way to the Old Testament. And you think back to God's people when they were in slavery, right? Okay, they were in Egypt. They were in slavery, and God uses Moses, and he comes in, and he's saying, I'm going to get my people out. I'm going to get God's people out. And we go through all of these awesome, crazy miracles, right? Remember all these miracles? And God does these amazing things, and then they come out of Egypt, and then not only does he do that, he parts the sea, and they walk across, and then not only that, they get over and they start to go through the wandering part, and God does what? He provides them food every day, he provides them direction, okay? And we get all the way, and then it's time to go up to Mount Sinai, and Moses is going to go, I'm going to go meet with God, okay? I'm going to go meet with God. I'll be back in a little bit, okay? And then we see this scene where God's people are down there waiting for a little while for Moses, and what do they do? Exodus 32:7-8 says this, and the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. This is nothing new for God's people. They took their eyes off of God for just a little while, and what do they end up doing? They end up creating other gods and adding to God's ways. I think it's interesting that the word quickly is used in that passage as it is here in Galatians. The same word we see in Galatians 1:6, they turned aside quickly. And Paul was astonished at how quickly the church at Galatia had deserted the gospel. And there have been many more of God's people through the years who have made their golden calves by adding to the gospel. Maybe it starts small. Maybe they think, oh, you know, we're going to improve God's ways. Maybe they think they're improving it. How do we ever get to the point where we think as humans we can improve something that Christ gave us, right? But we've been doing that, right? The Pharisees did it. They added all these extra rules to God's word. Religions through the years, right? They've done it. Added all these things we have to do and these motions we have to go through and these sayings and these deeds, thinking that maybe we're going to improve what God's already given us. Legalism, which we're going to deal with, that stems from this as well, right? We create all these lists, right? Okay, well, if God's word said this, well, then we should never do this, and we should do this. We should never, you know. How many guys play cards? Anybody? Raise your hand if you're honest. Right? Okay, that's a lot of you. You know, that's been a list in the church before, right? Women, don't wear pants. You can only wear dresses. You know, I mean, don't listen to rock music. Don't dance. I mean, all these things. We got like, well, we've got to follow the Lord, so let's add all this stuff. Let's make these lists. It stems from us thinking that we're helping make the gospel better, but anything added to the gospel makes the gospel polluted, right? The gospel doesn't need improvement. It is perfect. It is divine. It is holy. It is a gift. It is grace. We saw that last week in verses 3 and 4. The gospel is God's grace to us. The gospel is that Christ's sacrifice was completely sufficient to cover our sins. We don't have to add anything to it. We don't have to bring anything to that. Completely sufficient to forgive us, to deliver us from this evil age. There is nothing we need to add to the true gospel. The gospel is only Jesus and nothing else. So if we see that, if we know that, if it's right here in Scripture, why do so many turn from the gospel in times of crisis? Look at verse 7. So Paul's astonished how quickly deserting, and in verse 7 he says, not that there is another one. There's not another gospel. He's not saying that there's a different gospel. There's only one true gospel. And he says, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. There were those in the church, the Judaizers at Galatia, who were troubling those in the church. There were those in the church that were having a crisis in their soul as they were listening to this false teaching. They were troubled. And then in their trouble, in their crisis, they were then listening to this truth that had been twisted. And I believe this is what happens to many who turn from the gospel. They're going through a crisis, and then they're getting false, twisted truth, and they end up abandoning the faith. Have you ever known anyone like that? Maybe they grew up hearing the health and wealth gospel. It's like, man, if you have enough faith, then you're always going to be healthy. If you have enough faith, you're always going to be wealthy. So what happens when someone in their family or they gets sick, right? They're like, well, was all that false? Was all that was all really what it was? It was all twisted. And so they don't know how to handle going through a crisis, and they end up abandoning their faith. Well, I just don't believe in Jesus at all. Maybe on one side, there's someone experiencing and they're struggling through sin. How many of you guys have ever sinned? Okay, raise your hand. Raise it high. Okay, let's not be scared about that. We sin. We struggle, right? Thank you for Jesus, right? I mean, thank you for the cross. Thank you for that forgiveness. But what about when we're experiencing a season or a struggle of sin? But maybe we're in a church that teaches an extreme form of legalism, of do's and don'ts and do this and don't do that. And then when someone is struggling and they mess up and they break one of those rules that the church holds dear, then the church doesn't know how to deal with them, right? Like, oh, you sinned? You broke these rules. These are important rules. You bought that record over there that was not on our list of correct things to listen to, you know, or something even harder, like major crisis of sin. What then? The church doesn't know how to help them, how to forgive them, and so it ostracizes it, almost like kicking them out. And they go to their church for help, but no one wants to look at them. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. And so what does that person do? Like, well, this is the church. I can't experience forgiveness from my own church. I don't want to be a part of this. And they walk, and they abandon, they move off. Or we see, just as we experience doubts, we're just being transparent. I mean, anybody ever experience a doubt? Okay, thank you. I have, yeah, many times. We experience doubts, but then we start listening to false teachings, or maybe we start listening to false religions, and we think, well, that religion makes you do all these things. And how many of us feel really good when we accomplish things, right? We feel good about that. If we can check off a bunch of stuff on a list, don't you feel good about your day? I did all these things. So if a religion is teaching that if you just do these things and you do them well and you work hard and you're really good and they teach you that that's how you earn favor with God, you know, there are those within the Christian faith that look to that sometimes and think, well, that looks like real religion because I'm accomplishing something. And they start going and they start listening to that twisted truth. That's really kind of where this church was at Galatia. They were listening to the Judaizers saying, yeah, the gospel is good, but you need to be adding these things to your life because this is going to earn you more favor with God. A twisting of the truth. All right, here's one. My last illustration example. When we put our faith in a person or a leader or a church building or an author or a parent, when our whole life, our whole faith journey is wrapped up in our pastor or our parents or the church we go to, and then one of them messes up, and it causes our whole world to crash down because we've been listening and following a leader, there are many that have left and abandoned their faith. When a divorce happens in a family and they're like, well, how you guys went to church? How could you be going through this? Or when a leader messes up, or when we see our favorite author abandon their faith or go through something difficult, well, you guys, how can I trust? I mean, that's what happens. When we start putting our faith in a person, it's going to crumble, right? Because we are all sinful as people. When our eyes are not on Jesus, but they're on persons or places or authors or books or whatever, at some point that's going to crumble. That's going to the reality of sin, right? And we see many walk away. We see many in the church move because, like, well, that person wasn't perfect. And I thought they were the example of what Christianity was. So now I don't believe in Jesus at all. I mean, we see that. We have to be careful. We've got to be careful. This is why the abandonment of usually happen overnight. One doesn't usually wake up on a Monday morning and say, I think I'm going to walk away from my faith today. I think I'm going to walk away from the true gospel. I think I'm going to walk away from Jesus. No, it usually happens over time, listening or following subtle lies, listening to the twisting of truth, or going through something in crisis. So how do we avoid this? How do we avoid going prodigal? Okay? How do we avoid running away, taking our eyes off Jesus and walking down a path listening to lies? How do we do that? Look at verses 8 and 9. I love this. Paul, he says, but even if we, or an angel, in some translations, even if I, Paul, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Listen to the truth of Jesus. And let anyone teaching a false gospel, let them be accursed. How do we avoid apostasy? How do we avoid the subtle shifting away from Jesus? First of all is this, hang on tight to the truth of the gospel. Hang on with all your might. Keep your eyes on Christ. Run the race. Grab on tight to God's word. Grab on tight and don't let go. When Paul tells you to listen to him, to not to listen to him or even an angel if they are not preaching the true gospel, you know he is serious and you know he is telling you to hold on to the truth of the gospel. Hold on to it. Again, I am not saying don't read books by other people. Okay, don't hear that from me. But you must know the truth of the gospel and know that who you're reading is a person that's sinful, that's broken. These books and these authors and these songs and these blogs, they can never rise up above God's word. And many of us spend, and that's my whole thing, many of us spend more time in books by other people than we do God's word. That's really my struggle. I mean, I read devotional books, I read commentaries, I read all these things, but many of us, we just latch on to the fad that's out there at that time. It's like, well, that's a cool idea. And then we just like go with it. And before long, you know, our Bible's over here and all this stuff that we're listening to and reading is over here. Paul is saying, hold on. 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of sound words or sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Keep Scripture center in your life. Study the word. Study the truth. Hold on tight. Even in the storms, don't let go of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing, how do we avoid apostasy? First, we got to hold on. We got to run the race. We got to keep our eyes focused. The second thing is this, let Scripture be your authority. Let Scripture be your authority. Not Paul, not Chris, not your favorite author. Let Scripture be your authority. This goes back to who we are. Who are we following? Are you following a pastor, an author, a worship songwriter, a blogger, or are you letting the gospel, letting Scripture guide you? Let Scripture be your ultimate authority. Martin Luther said this. He said, the Bible must rule, and everyone must obey and be subject to her. This kind of shows you the time he was living in. The Pope, Luther, him, Augustine, Paul, an angel from heaven, these should not be masters, judges, or arbiters, but only witnesses, disciples, and confessors of Scripture. Nor should any doctrine be taught or heard in the church except the pure word of God. Otherwise, let the teachers and the hearers be accursed along with their doctrine. That is to the point, right? Don't let the Pope, don't let myself, Luther, don't let Augustine, don't let Paul, none of those should be your masters. Let the pure word of God be your authority. You see, if you're listening to the little twists and lies and false truths, when you do go through a crisis, you're going to be drawn to those things. Anything that will make you feel better, right? Or if you're listening to the false truths that if you follow Jesus, everything is going to be perfect. If you listen to that truth, the minute you go through a crisis, you're going to be like, well, that wasn't worth it, and you're going to drift, right? Keep God's word centered in your life. Hold on tight to it. Because I promise you, when you get through the crisis and you see how faithful God is, you're going to hold even more dear to it, right? You're going to hold on dear. You're going to hold on to it because you're going to see how God was faithful through that crisis. And that's what I want to kind of end with this morning. I want to end with some encouragement to us. And the truth is this: God is faithful, okay? God is faithful. You know, talking about the dangers of apostasy, and you're like, Chris, you're saying that we're all in danger? Well, yeah, I mean, all of us can take our eyes off Jesus, right? All of us could take our eyes off and then be walking down this road, and you know, it's my illustration of drifting out to sea. You know, it doesn't feel like we're going very far. We've just been in the boat for a little while until we look back at the shore and we see how far we've drifted from where we started, right? We're all in danger of that. Talking about that can maybe get us stressed out or maybe even fearful, but let me also remind you of God's faithfulness. Pastor Todd Wilson said this. He said, apostasy is a real possibility for each and every one of us. But let me hasten to add that what is even more real than apostasy is the faithfulness of God. This is why I pray for those who have drifted. We can say, well, there goes another one. Or are we astonished? Are we brokenhearted? Are we brokenhearted for that family member that has drifted? Are we on our knees daily praying that they will come back just like the prodigal son, right? I pray for them. Why? Because I believe that God is faithful. And if those people truly know Jesus Christ, if they responded to the Lord in salvation by faith and they are drifting, if they truly know Jesus Christ, guess what? I believe God will never leave them nor forsake them. I believe that. And yes, maybe some that drift and abandon and seek after evil and cherish and lift up sin, you know, maybe they were never part of us in the first. But those who truly know Christ and are struggling, and maybe they're like the prodigal, and maybe they're in the pig slop and they're waking up in that, I'm praying that they will see the truth of God's love, that God is faithful. I mean, think about Peter. Peter, one of the inner circle, one that walked with Jesus. How many times did he deny Christ the night that Christ got taken? Three times. I mean, it's kind of like, the second things got hard. Oh, yeah, I don't really know him. I mean, he'd been walking and talking and Jesus teaching and preaching and telling about the kingdom of heaven. And I mean, the minute things got scary, I don't really know him. What about when Jesus needed to rebuke Peter? But then I think of the encouragement of Christ's prayer for Peter in Luke 22. 31 and 32, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That is awesome. I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness, for the truth of his word. Let me read some verses over you. Write these down. If you're struggling, if you're doubting, if you're just doubting of God's faithfulness, and just let me encourage you with these passages on how faithful God is. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9 says, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end. Guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Philippians 1, 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to what? Completion at the day of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And I love this John 10:29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Amen? If you're a believer, you are secure in the Father's hand. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you're struggling right now and you are looking back at the shore and you're seeing how far you've drifted, guess what? You are secure in the Father's hand. Remember what we learned last week? Don't go out and hide in your sin. Immediately turn and just run back to grace, right? Run back to grace. Think about that story. Think about when the son wakes up in the pig slop and he's like, I got to go home. Maybe I can just work as a servant to my father. I just need to get out of this mess. He got up and he went. He ran to grace. And what did the father do? He didn't sit on the front porch with his arms crossed and go, oh, look, you finally decided to come home. You can work off the debt that you've paid. You can go out and sleep with the other servants and work the land. No, what did he do? He saw him coming. And he got up and he ran to his son and wrapped his arms around him. That's grace. That is grace. God is faithful. You are secure. So if you're drifting, turn and stop hiding in your sin. Stop trying to cower like Adam and Eve did. It's like, oh my goodness, don't let God see me. But get up and say, Lord Jesus, I have messed up and I am running home to you. I am running back, and I promise you, he will run after you and meet you and wrap his arms around you because you are secure in the Father's love. And if you're a believer and you're like, I don't want to abandon my faith, I don't want to go through this, then hold on tight to the gospel. Hold on tight and let Christ and his word be your authority in your life. And when you're hearing all this stuff, because you will, it's all around us, the twisting of the truth and the false teaching. When you hear it, keep your eyes on Jesus and hold fast to the gospel. Let Christ be your authority. Even when everyone around you is like, what are you doing? You can't listen to that. That's not love. Hold fast to the gospel. And as believers, as the church, let us be grieved, let us be astonished by those who have followed a false gospel, and let us pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that they'll come back. Pray that they'll wake up and not run anymore, but they'll turn and run back to grace. Let us not be like the church in Galatia, who so quickly abandoned the gospel. Let us hold dear the truth of God's word. Let's pray. We're always so thankful as we read your word, Lord, because we see your incredible love for us. We see the warnings, we see the truth, we see the encouragement, but always what rises to the top is your truth. It's the gospel, it's how much you love us, it's your grace, it's how much you did for us on the cross, which is completely sufficient. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing needs to try to improve it. It is perfect. Let us see that this morning. I pray for those that are drifting. I pray for those that are caught in sin. I pray for those that are struggling or doubting. I pray that they would look up and they would turn and they would run back to you, run back to grace. Those that know you because they are secure, you have not left them. I pray for those that are hearing the gospel for the first time, or they've been hearing it and they know that they're lost. I pray that you would call to them. I pray that you would the Holy Spirit would just reveal your truth, reveal the gospel to them. They would respond. I pray for those of us that are believers that we would hold fast to sound teaching, hold fast to the truth of your word, that scripture would be our authority. And we would be so focused on you that all the noise and the false teachings and the stuff out there around us would not be louder than your truth. And God, I pray for the many in our lives that are drifting. I pray for them. Let us be brokenhearted. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us this morning? Maybe you need to come and get on your knees and pray for someone. Maybe you've kind of like, well, I'm just kind of done with that. I'm tired of that faith for him. Maybe you need to come and pray that you would, that God would break your heart. Namely, remember that coworker. Maybe you need to come and you need to say, Lord, I've got to get focused. Maybe you need to come because you're saying symbolically, it's like, I am running back. I'm sick of my sin. I am running back to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that I'm secure in your hands.